I am your host, Leo Hart. Welcome to episode 1 of Belief Unboxed. Let's get started. I'm anxious. Yeah, I am. Why am I anxious? Well, it is 11:30 at night on a Wednesday, and everyone in my house is sleeping, and I'm trying to record my initial, I guess, origin story, if you will, for the Belief Unboxed podcast. Okay, but still, why am I anxious? Well, I'm afraid that my loud voice as I record this in the house is going to wake somebody up. Well, so what if that happened? Well, that wouldn't be a big deal. So somebody woke up and maybe they would tell me to do this a little quieter. Okay, so if that's my understanding, then why would I be anxious about somebody doing that? And better yet, do I really think anyone would do that? Well, no, I don't think anyone would do that. My kids are in the far back bedroom and they sleep like bricks. And my wife has a baby attached to her in our bedroom. And she's also had a long day and she's pretty much conked out. And then really there's my mother-in-law who has a set of headphones even when she sleeps at night stuck in her ears. And she's listening to Brazilian soap operas and newscasts pretty much 24 hours a day. So she probably has no idea what I'm even doing down here in the office, let alone disturbing her to wake her up and come down and complain. So again, why the anxiety? Well, if I look at it a little further, the anxiety really isn't around them. It's really around what I'm putting in this podcast for content and then publishing that out to the world. Because, you know, this is me. This isn't just words on paper that somebody else is reading. This is my voice. This is my persona. And I'm putting that out there and people are going to consume it. Well, so if I look at that deeper, who's one person that maybe I would have anxiety over them judging the product that I put out harshly? And as I think about that, there really isn't anybody. So why am I having this anxiety if there's nobody that I'm worried would judge me harshly? And even if somebody did, would that really be bothersome? No. In fact, I would maybe even like that because I'm getting a reaction and really you can't get that forward momentum without getting engagement, regardless of how that engagement comes to you, negative or positive. So, wow, it's quite interesting. The anxiety, I can actually feel it going out of me as I'm working through this. So if there's no one that I'm afraid would judge me harshly, and even if they did, I really wouldn't have a problem with it, then what is there to be anxious about? And right there it is. There isn't anything to be anxious about. So then, do you want to still be anxious, Leo? No, I don't want to be anxious. Okay. Are you going to not be anxious? Yeah. In fact, I'm sitting here. I'm relatively calm. I'm not anxious anymore. My heart rate slowed and I feel pretty good about this. Okay. So, Leo, do you have anything left that you want to explore about this anxiety? No, I don't. Okay. I feel complete with that. All right. And that's really what I want to do with Belief Unboxed. The power of belief exploration, working with people with self-limiting beliefs that they have, or even exploring the happiness that they have in their life to better understand why those emotions exist, get to the beliefs behind them that are fueling behaviors and emotions. And I do that on a daily basis with people I work with. I do something called the Option Process Dialogue. I'm a certified mentor with them. A lot of people may not be familiar with that organization. You can Google search that. Again, that's Option Process Mentor. I've had that certification a little over a year now, but the methodology and the philosophy has been with me for many years. And I'm going to tell that origin story here today. Hopefully you'll find that interesting and maybe have some questions or comments that you can leave either on Instagram or my blog and whatnot, and we'll go from there. But that's what I want to do with this. I want to spark a conversation around how we kind of self-assess and become more self-aware. And we do that through belief exploration, or at least that's just one way that you can. I found it very effective, and I want to focus on that here on this podcast. And the people that I'm reaching, want them to interact and provide as much questions or feedback that they can, because I want this show to evolve, and I want the listeners to get as much as they can out of it, because I've gotten a lot out of it, and it's done a lot for me in my life. As far as self-awareness and being able to make quick shifts that can help me react and work with people better in my life, from, you know, the relationships I have in my home with my family all the way to the people I work with, or to really strangers that I meet on a daily basis, where I might, you know, write extensive stories about those people based on limited information that I have. And this way of kind of assessing the world and breaking it up into, you know, some chunks that can be consumed a little more easily allows you to see how you're working in the world, how you're operating, if you will. And I want people to understand that it's a great tool that they can utilize. And I also want to explore other systems that you may have found have worked quite well, and we can discuss those and find out what merits they have and how we can incorporate them as well. So let's get underway. First, I want to go back in time a little bit. It's the summer of 2012. We've got a year and a half old, and we've got a baby on the way, due mid-November. Another boy. I don't know if we knew that at the time, but actually we didn't. It was a surprise. And we started to see some changes in our 18-month-old. He was growing a little listless and doing a little drooling that he wasn't doing before, kind of incessant. He looked depressed. He didn't have that smile on his face anymore. And he just looked unwell. He looked uncomfortable. He looked like kind of he was in a flu state a lot of the time. So he was the only kid we had, so we didn't really have much to compare to. So we thought, okay, maybe kids go through these funks. And my mother actually told us that she thought he might have a hearing problem, and to get him checked. She actually had dropped something rather heavy behind him, made a loud bang on the floor, and he didn't even flinch. So she thought, you know, maybe there's something going on with the hearing. So we got that checked. Seemed like that all checked out, but they told us at the hospital, you know, you might want to have the mental health department or whatever it is do a little bit of an assessment on him. He might have some type of disability. So I'm thinking autism right away. They hadn't even really said it. They just kind of danced around it, but I was thinking it. I was starting to see some things. And autism just seemed to be showing up for me a lot in things I was listening to on the radio and books that I had come across. And I thought it was kind of presenting itself to me in some way. And so we couldn't get an appointment to get an actual assessment from anyone in mental health for some time, you know, like 3 months or so. And finally, even after they do the assessment, you know, it takes them a little bit to kind of come to a conclusion and then give you a report. At least it did in our particular circumstance. So, you know, we had to wait maybe like 2 weeks. And then we got the word that he officially had autism, which did not come as a shock again. But even though it didn't come as a shock, there was kind of a lull that we sunk into. And I know me specifically, I can speak to that experience as a father. You know, you want so much for your kids. You've kind of got their future, I don't want to say mapped out, but you've got a vision of how you're going to relate to your kids, maybe some of the experiences you know you want to have with them. And now I have this child who no longer has eye contact. They're doing some pretty significant, uncontrollable tantruming. They seem like they have some physical ailments that we just can't understand. And I won't go into those here because they can be a little graphic. But and the worst of all, there's really nobody giving us much information as far as what we can potentially do. They're basically saying, prepare for the worst. Here is the really the prospects for you of your child whose speech has now regressed to where they're just grunting to communicate. That may be as good as it gets. You should prepare for that. Here are some resources for a type of therapy that you can get some insurance coverage on. It's not super effective, but it is something that you can do, and some people have seen some benefits from it. So, we were in this place where our belief structure about the life our child would have had completely been blown away, and it was really in a shithole now. And I know a lot of people will hear this and say, "Oh, autism is not a death sentence." And yeah, I don't think it is, but I mean, it isn't what the expectation was. And if it's not what you're bargaining for, then you go through a mourning phase. And we were in that mourning phase. We were deadlocked in that mourning phase. But my wife, she is much more of a go-getter than I am. And she was, well, I won't say she was initially, but she became very determined and she did a lot of reading and she determined that she was going to help this child. And she was going to do everything that she could to find things that would provide him the same opportunities that kids that don't have this thing called autism get. And so we started on that path where we're trying a lot of these different things, diets, we're doing all these different treatment types. And again, I won't go into all those. The rabbit hole of potential treatments in the autism world would boggle your mind if you're not in that space. And I think to some degree, a lot of those treatments, if not the lion's share, they do help different kids in different ways. So, I mean, there are people getting benefits from all of those things. There are also a lot of kids that are doing things they're getting no benefit from. And that's probably the biggest challenge is that there's really no professional guidance, or it's very hard to come by to kind of determine, okay, what are the treatment styles that can really be effective for this particular child and the challenges that they're having. So, it's very frustrating because you're spending a ton of money and you get angry too because you're not going on vacations, you're not buying new cars. And you're not, I'll say this, you're not even investing in your retirement. You are focused on your kid and you're saying, "Look, I've got a few years where I could potentially make some impact, and I'm going to do everything I damn well can. I'm going to spend every dollar that I can get my hands on until I find what he has success with." And we did that. And my wife ran that. And eventually, if we got that diagnosis in late 2012, then in 2014, 2014, she attended a conference that had a lot of those different autism-related therapies, kind of coalesce and talk about how they can help kids. There was a particular speaker there that really caught her eye, and his name was Ron Kaufman. And he was, our age, a little older, probably low 40s at the time. And he was such a charismatic speaker, blown away. And then she'd come to find out that he actually had been diagnosed as severely autistic as a young child. And what had happened was at the time, this was late 70s, his, parents had very little alternatives for treatment. So they wanted a connection with him and they weren't getting it and they weren't getting any help from, the mainstream medical community at the time. So, really they just tried to connect with him and without really going in depth into what it was that they did. The Ron's mother, she kind of stumbled across a way to connect with her child, and it was hard work. She wasn't really doing it as work at the time. She was just doing it to spend time with her child. And she started to notice that he was coming out of his shell and started, you know, in some ways communicating with her. And then as she continued along that same practice, if you will, he continued to come out of his shell, and he eventually completely came out of his shell. And he later graduated from an Ivy League school and is, again, I think he's like education director. Now he's even higher up in the organization. And basically what happened was, is that they took that modality that they'd created and they built an institute around that, where they, actually train families to run similar programs to what they were running with Ron. They train families to run their own programs in their homes, wherever they're at around the world. And my wife saw this conference about this and the stories that a lot of parents were having with success. And so she said, we're going to go to this training. And I was kind of like, okay, what's it going to cost? I had a lot more frustration, you know, because I knew this wasn't going to be cheap. Anytime you're going away for a week out of town, you've got airfare, you've got rental cars, you've got lodging and whatnot, and then just the fees to attend the seminar. So I was like, can you go by yourself and then kind of take good notes and come back and train me? And she said, absolutely not. If you don't go, I don't go, and you're going. So we went, and it was a completely life-changing experience. I can't explain it, but we met people from around the world, Africa, Russia, Australia, Germany, England, all over South America. Our class had like 75 people in it, you know, a lot of couples, a lot of single parents that were learning how to work with their children with these special needs. And they were learning to work with them in a way that really wasn't being offered anywhere else in the world. And that was intriguing. And as we got into the learning, I noticed that they weren't really, I mean, yes, there were components that were focused on the children, but they seemed like they were more heavily focused on us, the parents, and particularly what we believed our kids were capable of. And this I didn't really understand it at the time, but as I reflected on it, either later that night after the lecture or maybe even when I came back home from the trip, I really realized what they were trying to show me was that I was actually living into the reality that the mainstream medical community had given to me. They had said, here's the outcome, or the worst possible outcome. And I saw that as what was going to happen. Yeah, it might be a possibility, but it wasn't necessarily what was going to happen. There is infinite possibility. And there was no absolute proof that that was going to be his outcome. And so I learned at that training that I could change what I thought was potentially possible for my son. And I could do that without expectation that he needed to get there. I could do that just with love and hope and being there for them, for him, and providing him every opportunity to stretch himself, to learn to communicate more, to use words and not grunt, to tantrum less, to talk to us when he had problems. We could hope for all that, and we could work with him, and we could establish that connection. And even though it would take time, it would take a lot of work, we would come home and we would put that program together. We would work with 12 to 15 volunteers who would come in, and that kid would do 40 plus hours a week in a renovated spare bedroom that we had in the basement. I mean, he would eat in that room. And you know what? He loved that room. He wouldn't want to come out of that room. And part of the reason is because he was in control in that room. And that was probably the only place in his life where he was completely in control. And he loved that. And we saw that kid come out of his shell, and we saw him hit the milestones that they put forward. And they were there every step of the way with us. And I realized that through that curriculum we went through on the autism side, that I could do this with other people in my life. I mean, not run programs in our basement with them, but I mean, I could accept them. I didn't have to write the outcome of what I thought they meant to me or what I could get out of them. I didn't have to do that. I could just accept them, love them, and I could be there for them and hope for the best for them. And I could grow those relationships with virtually anybody, whether it was somebody I worked with, a family member, a complete random stranger. It didn't really matter. I mean, and I didn't really notice the full scope of it at that time, but that was what I was sensing. And I came to learn that the Autism Treatment Center of America, who did this training with us, they have a sister organization called the Option Institute, and they just work with really anybody that wants to do self-improvement or self-awareness training and all of that. And they have a curriculum that you can go through there too, several different programs that kind of help you assess yourself and how you are operating in the world at a much deeper level. And so I began to take those programs. I began to go to Western Massachusetts at their campus and take those programs as well with other people from around the world that also were doing that. And I would eventually love it so much that I would become certified in their option process mentoring practice. And I received that a little over a year ago, back in January 2017. And over this last year, I've come back home and I've worked with several people, business owners, individuals that are having problems within their marriage or relationships with their children, or you know, just really how they relate to the world. And I've used this mentoring methodology to facilitate for them the ability to explore the beliefs they have that are creating anxieties and stresses and those types of emotions in their life. And they've been able to, a lot of them have been able to shift a lot of that to more emotions that serve them in much better ways. And that's been just fantastic to see and to be a part of. And what I think has been the most helpful for me is I'm not really giving them advice in any of this. I'm just creating this space for them to explore. And I'm also providing them questions that are only based on the things that they bring to the discussion. I don't bring anything from the outside. I don't say, hey, did you think, have you thought of this? Have you done that? I'm just basically asking them to clarify and really get detailed about what it is that they're doing in the situations that may be causing them issues. And in that clarification, they tend to have breakthroughs. So not always, but most of the time, even if they don't have a breakthrough, they seem to understand things much more clearly. And that's powerful because they can see how they're starting to put it together. And even if they don't maybe get completely to where they want to go in a particular session, they are on their way and they know it. And once they kind of learn the process, they can start to do it in their own head and they don't need me. And so I want to help kind of push that out into the market, out into the world, because I think it's a tool set that people need. I think it's very useful. And I want to do that with Belief Unboxed. I want to kind of take everything I've learned and I want to bounce it off people who are having challenges that they just haven't been able to figure out. And I want them to kind of use the questions that I can provide to give them that clarity in order to get them to a place where they can make better decisions about what they want to do and how they want to react to situations that are impacting them in their life. So that's what we're going to do at Belief Unboxed. And that's how I got to this point where I'm now running a website and a practice and a podcast. And I'm going to try to do this podcast, I think, weekly. I think would be ideal. I'm actually using the Anchor FM app on iOS, and I think it's on Android as well. So you can probably get the podcast from other distribution channels. But if you want to go ahead and get the Anchor app, then you can find a lot of other content from people creating podcasts. It's a really easy way to create podcasts right on the phone. And then what's also interesting about that app is that you can, as a listener, you can actually send me audio messages that I can actually incorporate into the podcast. So if you want to send me questions, if you want to send me limiting beliefs, or really any belief that you want to explore more deeply, then you can verbally provide me that message and I can use that audio clip in the podcast rather than just repeating your message. So I want to do that to create more interactivity. So you might check that out and see what you think of the Anchor app. You can also create your own podcast. That feature set is part of that same application. So that's kind of how I want to conclude episode one. So again, check me out at beliefunboxed.com. If you want to do a session, then you can schedule through the Booking Now app that's part of that website. If you want to check out what's going on in some of the messaging I'm putting out, I'm doing Instagram as well. So I'm instagram.com/beliefunboxed. And other than that, check us back here on the podcast, follow us and comment, and I'll see you next time.